As Elaine says, I'm carrying on with the God is able and following on from how big is your God? How big is he? If he's big enough, he can cope with me. So Matt gave me a title this morning. The God of Peace, Jehovah Shalom. And you know when somebody talks to you about a subject, your mind can go on overdrive. Or if you like me, simply drive. And my thoughts turn to a well-known phrase. The peace that passes all understanding. And then as my mind goes that little step further, I come to that exam question. The peace that passes all understanding, explain. Okay? Thanks. So, if you've got a couple of hours, I'll try and help us to understand the peace that passes all understanding. Especially since God is able. Okay? So we're set up. A couple of hours? Yeah? Fine. No burnt chickens and things. All right? That's the other miracle. So, let's start by looking at what peace is. And firstly, I think it's important to look at the world we live in. The world that's driven by the media. Yep. Are we all agreed? Good. Hey, I'm doing well here, getting some agreement. And we're driven by a definition of peace. Because the media likes nasty things, bad things, war things. You look at all the news we get. All the news is bad news. Or as media people say, bad news is good news because it sells newspapers. But that definition that we get is peace is a lack of war. Yeah? But is it complete? It's true. Peace is a lack of war. But is it complete? Is it everything? Well, let's look at this word that's in the Bible. I won't try and pronounce the second bit. Well, I will. Shalom. That's the anglicised version. Now, I understand it reads the other way around. But shalom is a Hebrew word. And it means peace, completeness, prosperity, welfare. It's a word that gets used to say hello and goodbye as well. So, it's quite a useful word, really, isn't it? Some people call their houses that. It's great. In Hebrew, as in English, it can mean peace between two entities, often man and God, or between two countries. But it can mean well-being, welfare, safety of an individual or individuals. And in Scripture, shalom describes the actions that lead to a state of soundness, or better still, wholeness. So, shalom isn't simply a state of peace, it's a process. Okay? So it's a little bit more than simply being there and having it. It describes a movement towards this wholeness or fullness. Okay? We're dealing with a concept then that's larger than simply the lack of war. And since we are all a work in progress, I ask you to hold this definition of shalom, the concept of wholeness in mind. So if I use the word peace or I use the word shalom or I use both of them, try and hold in your mind it's not simply the lack of war, it's this wholeness and the seeking towards it. Okay? Now, I know it's difficult to hold things in your mind sometimes when somebody asks, but anyway. Let's go right back to the beginning. Right at the beginning of the Bible, God had a plan. Yeah? What was that plan for man? Well, he sticks Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What state do you think they were in? My suspicion is that it was a state of shalom. Yeah? Sounds good, doesn't it? Good place to be. Place of peace, a place where it could be complete. They could be whole. They could be prosperous. That doesn't mean a big bank account. They could have good welfare. So, conclusion, this state of shalom was God's plan right from the beginning. Okay? Are we all with it? Yeah. But it got a bit messed up, didn't it? Some say by Adam. Some say by Eve. Some say by both of them. Well, whichever. This state of shalom, whatever happened, still remained God's plan. And we find as we go through the gospel that in Numbers, I think it's up there, a priestly blessing has this phrase, may the Lord show you his favour and give you his peace. It's in there. Still in there. After we've had the folks get kicked out of paradise. When the people enter the promised land, God's intention was that they took all the strongholds and the high places. Now, in spite of the fact they didn't succeed in doing that, they still had periods of peace. And they had peace of periods between 40 and 80 years. I think Judges 3 is that verse. Judges 3:11. So there was peace in the land for 40 years. I think there's one occasion where it occurred for 80 years. So there's a kind of peace. Times when they weren't warring between themselves. And then we come a little bit further on in history and we get David, a warrior king. Can't imagine him having peace, can you? But what he did do was to conquer all the lands that God had said. And it's only under David, finally, that all the land got conquered. That was talked about. That God had said, take it all. So that peace, shalom, could come in. And then we find this verse. We can go to the next one. You will have a son who will be a man of peace. I will give him peace with his enemies in all the surrounding lands. His name will be Solomon. And I will give peace and quiet to Israel during his reign. Solomon sounds a bit like shalom, doesn't it? His name actually means peace. As Matt said last week, what's in a name? Do you know what your name means? I know what mine does. And I have to say, I live it out. Not because I chose my name. It was chosen for me. But that's who I am. It means spear carrier, incidentally. Which means I stand at the side of those who lead and help. The peace that came in Solomon's reign was in the land of Israel, the combined lands, and in all the lands around it, which I find interesting, because it wasn't just peace in the land, it touched the area around it as well. Unfortunately, it didn't last beyond Solomon. Whole kinds of reasons for that. One, he wasn't faithful to God. He brought in other gods through his, how many wives was it? 300? And probably 300 mother-in-laws. I'll get myself in trouble, won't I, if I carry on like this. I think the other reason it didn't go beyond Solomon was actually bad fathering. David was not a good father. You read the story of David and look how his kids fought between themselves. And he didn't discipline them. You read Solomon and his kids. He didn't discipline his kids. Got three generations not disciplined. What does it ask for? Trouble. Okay? But that's a whole other preach. I'm not going there. But we do see lots of encouragement for peace in the Psalms. That's just one of them. Turn your back on sin. Do something. Embrace peace. Don't let it get away. I liked it in the Message. Proverbs. Deceit fills hearts that are plotting evil. Joy fills hearts that are planning peace. So peace does us good. Yeah? Can we go for that? Happy with that? Right. Carry on. But the people of Israel found it difficult to live with. Never mind. God had a plan. For a child is born to us. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Now we all know who that was, because he was born in a stable. And even during his preaching, even during his talking, he didn't talk a lot about peace. It was peace. But we do get him using this expression in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So there's a blessing in being a peacemaker. John talks a lot about love in his gospel, but he also tells us that Jesus left his peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. And also, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Let's note again here, this is not a peace that talks of lack of conflict, but something rather different. He suggests we can have peace in the middle of troubles. Now, I won't ask how many people have troubles, and I won't then ask how many people have peace in the middle of their troubles, because I don't want to create any embarrassment, but you can all answer the questions for yourselves. What I would suggest is that this peace is something that's inside us. Yeah? It's not a peace as the world knows it. It's something inside us. And perhaps we're getting somewhere near to understanding that peace that passes all understanding. Perhaps it's something that we can have when it seems that we're in a place where there is no peace. How can it be? Well, we've already read, Jesus left his peace. My peace I give to you. He was, after all, the Prince of Peace. We've already read that, yeah? He also sent the Holy Spirit to be our guide and our comforter. Now, if we've received the Holy Spirit, which we have, in receiving Jesus as Lord and following his commands to be baptized, etc. Now, I'm not going to go into the theology of exactly when the Holy Spirit arrives, because it gets all mixed up. Read the Gospels. It happened right at the beginning and it still happens today. People get baptized in the Holy Spirit before they get baptized and all sorts of things. But there's something that happens when we accept Jesus as Lord in us receiving the Holy Spirit. Yeah? Okay. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace. In there. patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Well, we all have those in such measure, don't we? No? Okay. Well, that's one who doesn't. And a whole host of other people who daren't answer. I want to just go to a little aside here. We'll leave that on the screen. Into a bit of genetics. Now, I know somebody's far better qualified to talk about genetics than I am. I think that's what Beth's studying, isn't it? Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of other people are. But when fertilization or conception occurs in both animals and plants, there's something to do with the coming together of DNA, which is basically a string of chemicals. Okay? And that series of chemicals is what determines who we are. What we look like, who we are, determines all kinds of things about us. Now, DNA, if I've got this right, stands for diribonucleic acid. Right? The di tells you there's two. Yeah? Now, what happens when the two bits of DNA come together from the male and the female side is that the DNA splits down the middle. And you get two lots of ribonucleic acid, which recombine the male with the female. So you get a whole new DNA produced. Right? Okay? End of science lesson, more or less. Now, it's our new DNA that's in each cell. Because we start with one cell. And that cell divides. And it divides and it divides and it divides ever so quickly. And over a period of time, certain cells get certain specificities. That's a good word, isn't it? I said it without spitting as well. Some that form eyes, some that form noses, some that form mouths, some that form fingers, some that form bones and skin and internal organs and all sorts of bits and pieces. But every single one contains the same DNA. Now the same sort of thing happens when the Holy Spirit enters us. The DNA, this is an image, okay? My theology doesn't stretch quite that far. Our DNA and the Holy Spirit DNA join together. And we create a new DNA. And we use a phrase for it. We are born again. So we're a new creation. Yep. Now, we retain our human part, which makes us different one from another. Yeah. Fortunately, none of you are exactly like me. Fortunately for you. We are not clones. Praise God. But we do have a new spiritual part in us. A part that has the power of God in it. The power of God. The same power that raised Jesus. Hey, we got some excited folk. Well, three. As in other reproduction, it's in embryonic form when we first get it. Okay, that's the impartation. At that point, it's in embryonic form. And it needs to develop and it needs to grow. How does it do that? Well, it gets fed, hopefully. Had some good dinners recently. It gets nurtured in good company. The church, our life groups, our communion together. Okay? That's the aside. I'll go back to what I was talking about now. Okay, we may not have fully released, we may not have fully developed all these aspects. But just take a note. No, sorry, can we stay with that? Those are all to do with our character. Yeah? There's nothing that says you shall be an organiser, a labourer, a skivvy, or whatever. There's nothing that says any about that. It's all to do with our character. Yeah? The rest of it's our human side. Now, all of those are available to us. All we have to do is choose to release them. Now, those of you who've done the Freedom in Christ course will know that it's one of the words that I think is probably the most important word on the whole course. Choose. Yeah. So, if God intended us to live in peace and wholeness, a state of shalom, how does it work out? How do we do it in practice? Let's be practical. I like being practical. Okay, let's go back to how the world, just as a comparison to begin with. How does the world go about bringing peace? Well, generally it tries to impose it. Tries to impose laws, rules, behaviour, that we can behave in certain ways. And exactly the same thing happens with peace initiatives. You look how many peace initiatives you've seen and heard of in the news in the last few years. How many of them have been really successful? I would say few. Few. Even Northern Ireland, which still seems to be relatively peaceful, only this week we've had things happening out of that, because it's applied from the outside. Hasn't had a change where it needs to have the change. So applying stuff from the outside, applying peace from the outside doesn't work. And it seems to me, if it doesn't work, if it's applied from the outside, there's only one way it can work. Start from the inside. And God always seems to work from the inside out. You know, what's his message in the beginning of Acts? Go into eventually all the world, but Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, into all the world, to the ends of the earth, inside out. His plan starts in the promised land and works out across the world. Starts with a particular people group and spreads out. He always worked from inside out. So if we want successful peace, where's it got to start? In each one of us. Okay? It's the plan for his world. But note, God is interested in who we are. He's interested more in that than what we do. He's interested in our character. And when it comes to measuring up before Jesus, we're going to be measured up against the perfect yardstick, Jesus himself. And our progress will be measured on how much more we are like him today than we were in the past. And how much more we will be like him in the future than we are today. Yeah? Are we up for that? Okay. So, as we approach this perfection in Jesus, we will have this shalom. Life as God intended. Nothing missing. Life in complete wholeness. Perfect health. Perfect prosperity. Every need met. Not bad, is it, as a goal? If you need help in this area, incidentally, do follow the Freedom in Christ course. And that's the publicity over. The good news is that if we have that peace of Jesus in us, peace of God within us, we have a perfect place from which to live. A perfect place from which to make our decisions. One of the early leaders of Ashwood Church, when it was way back in Ravenshead, always used to use the expression, live from your peace. Live from your peace. Now, I've tried to apply it. We've tried to apply it. And I have to say, it does work. So let's find our place of peace. Yeah? And if we're not there, well, let's do something about it. Now, that's the good news for us. But the story hasn't finished. Because God's plan hasn't finished. Because we're meant to share this completeness, this wholeness, this shalom with the world. How do we communicate it, though? Do we work hard at preaching it? Do we go out on Saturday morning and instead of dealing with healing on the street, stick Matt on a soapbox and tell him to preach about peace? Or anybody else who wants to stand on a soapbox? I'm not saying that's bad. Do we join peace protests? Again, I'm not saying that's bad. But what do we do? Well, I have a very simple answer. Be peace. Be peace. In a famous misquote of Francis of Assisi, I think I've got the right person. Witness on all occasions. If necessary, use words. Yeah, and if we're witnessing peace, then peace will touch the other people around us. Let's look again. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. So, we're to be peacemakers by our presence and also by the wisdom that God gives us. All these things don't come separately. They don't come compartmentalized. You know, that list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit isn't a choice list. It's all or nothing. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It's peace-loving, gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness or good things or justice. Those are alternative words for that. Righteousness. So our peacemaking, our being peace in our world has tremendous effect, doesn't it? And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. So, let's be in God. Let's be. Let our inner peace, our shalom, begin to influence this world. We may, at this point, be tempted to say, well, little old me can't affect the world. Well, perhaps not. But lots of little old me's together certainly make a difference. All our peace added together, touching our world, is going to change it. Do we want to change the world? Well, that's, I think I heard one voice, definitely. Do we want to change the world? Okay. We'll maybe get there. I was going to finish this with a final blessing, but I think I want to do that afterwards. I think I want to pray. And I want to pray in three areas. One, being filled or refilled with the Holy Spirit. And I think we can all pretty well accept that one. I want to pray for a release of this peace and shalom in our lives. And I want to pray for a release of the power that enables that shalom. Okay? Are we up for that? Well, those who would like to join me in that prayer, I'm going to ask you if you'd stand. I don't feel embarrassed if you don't want to. And if your standing is inside, that's fine. I have no problems with people sitting down but standing up inside. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you sent the Holy Spirit to be among us. Thank you that there is a power in the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you've come that each one may be filled. Thank you, Lord, that if we've been filled already and maybe some of that's leaked away, that you're always ready to refill us. So I pray now for the filling of the Holy Spirit and the refilling of the Holy Spirit for each and every one of us here. Come, Holy Spirit, move among us. Touch our hearts. Touch our minds. Touch our thoughts. Bring your peace. And Lord, as part of that deal with you, I ask you to help each one of us to find the trigger that releases that peace, that shalom in our lives. And Lord, I ask you to release your power. Release your power now in Jesus' name. Release your power in individual lives. Release your power to work in peace. Release your power to get really, really filled. And to change this world of ours in Jesus' name. Amen.